Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. Today's guest is Bill Murray, a Jake and Gino student and multifamily real estate investor who has been using his leadership and sales background to help grow his real estate portfolio. He comes from a staffing background where he helped grow the company from $10 million over $75 million in a six-year period. Today, he owns and operates over 48 units at this time and is continuing to expand his portfolio. Bill, without further ado, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, thanks so much, Gino. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. And I remember when you joined, I remember you saying October of 2020, things were going great. You had an amazing job. The economy was, you know, it was during COVID, but you were still doing really well. Take us back to that time. What made the decision for you to want to join the Jake and Gino community and actually start learning about multifamily?
I mean, that's the biggest thing, was the education. I was in a job, it was a great job, and I was doing well, but I knew there was more out there. And I knew there was something that I could do or should be doing to move myself forward and be ready for the future, right? I could just tell that working a 9-to-5 job for the rest of my life just wasn't in the cards for me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to get educated on real estate. I heard about it, and then I started doing a little research, and then I found the Jake and Gino, you know, group organization. I joined that, and that's when I really started getting educated. I started talking with you, some of the other members, and then that's what helped me, you know, build upon my real estate investing. I started my first deal in October of 2020.
And Bill, I'd like to share this with you as well as a lot of the other listeners who are listening right now. And our story is very similar. I mean, I came from the restaurant background. I mean, you were in the corporate, but we both wanted something more, I think. We both aspired to something more. We both, I don't want to say deserved, but we had the skills to do something more. We were just stuck in jobs. And for me, fortunately, I took massive action and years later, I was able to get out. Why don't you share the story of if you hadn't taken massive action, what happened to the company? You'd be, because most of us say, oh, well, it's not the right time now. You know, a little side note, it's never the right time. It just never is. Share that story with the listeners, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing. It's never the right time. And when you wait for it, it's never going to come. You know, there's always something else happening. So when I joined, I got educated. I started my invest in October 2020, bought a 6-unit. And then April of 21, I ended up buying 13 units. And I've been building since. We bought a 5-unit, then partnered up with my brother. So that way there we could do it together, need a little extra cash to get into these as well. And then we closed on a 12 unit. I just recently closed on another 12 earlier this year. Having said that, in between, as I was growing, running the company, a staffing firm, we got bought out because we did so well by a private equity group. And it started off pretty good for a little bit. And since I was running the majority of the company, they started bringing in their people. They wanted to run it a certain way. It didn't align with my vision or my goals. And we came to an impasse where it just wasn't working out anymore. So in January, or actually I should say December of last year, we ended up separating. And so this year I've been doing real estate full time on my own. And oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Bill, before you finish that story, I want everyone to understand, I don't think Bill got into multifamily, and I don't think I got into multifamily just to make money. I think we wanted the autonomy. I think the power and the return on investment from Bill being able to say to them, it's not working out, and living an impactful life changes the trajectory of your life forever. For me to be able to walk away from the restaurant and not have to deal with COVID during the restaurant because I wasn't there, that is irreplaceable. There is no return on your money greater than the ability to walk away on your own terms and to be able to walk away into something that you have prepared and you have ready to go. Can you share your sentiments on that?
Yeah, 1,000%. And it comes down to the time freedom is just irreplaceable, right? I have 4 kids and a wife, and being able to spend more time with them now is just irreplaceable. I'm not exactly where I need to be yet financially. However, I've started that process a few years ago knowing that I wanted to get here, and this just expedited the process. And now I'm figuring it out as I go. How do I get to that next level quicker? So that way there I can stay where I'm at now. But it's gave me that opportunity that when I decided, hey, this isn't working out anymore, I wasn't freaking out, going crazy. Oh, I got to find another job right away. I got to get back into it. I got to get out on the market. Like, what's going to happen? I was at peace. I actually was happy and was, I felt relieved, like, holy cow, I don't have to be told when to come in, what to do, how to do it, you know, do things that I don't agree with. I make my own decisions now. And that's just been, it's been a blessing.
For me, the book, The Psychology of Money, I recommended it to a lot of people. That book will shed light on what we're trying to do at Jake and Gino and what people are trying to do when they actually try out and want to make money. Money is the result. You know, Bill's getting much better at this. And I'm going to push back a little bit on Bill. I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody who is ever at their financial, you know, capabilities. We're never where we want to be. We're always living in the gap, as Dr. Benjamin Hardy says. We're never in the gain. Where are you right now? You're in your summer house in Cape Cod, so you're not living on the street. You're not homeless, let's say. But you're not, let's say, an eight-figure net worth. I get that. But at the same time, that's not really what multifamily and what making money is all about. Making money is the ability to create those memories with your kids, to be able to go on vacation, to be able to say to the boss, I don't want to be here, to be able not to be shut down during COVID and have to get vaccinated if I don't want to and have to wear a mask and have all these shutdowns. I was able to avoid that because of multifamily, and you were able to choose the job and say, you know what, now is the right time for me to leave. And I think the most important thing about all of that is when you make a decision based on being empowered and not one on fear, higher emotional intelligence, higher emotions will lead you to make the right decision more times than not. I mean, you can speak to that, please. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
1,000% on that. I can't agree more that when you're making a decision that isn't fear-based, it's such an easier decision and more fluent decision that you can just... It's hard to explain until you do it. Like, your whole body, you just feel like all this stress and just release. And you feel at peace with yourself because you can do what you thought you wanted to do in the future now even sooner. But you feel that sense of pride and relief that, wow, I'm doing this and I feel all right.
I got a little tip for Bill as well. And for anybody out there listening, that if they lose their job, they're afraid of leaving it. Bill can always go back and get a job somewhere else. I mean, like, he took the leap. He's going to figure it out in the next 12 to 24 months. I think it's the perfect time now, actually, in the next year to 2 years for Bill to continue to add, because now he knows the brokers. He knows valuations. He understands the market. Deals are coming on right now because mom and pops have to sell. So I think now is ultimately, believe it or not, one of the better times in the market to get into. It's always the right time, only when you're ready. But Bill, speak to that. You know, you could sit down with the wife 6 months from now and go, I need to make a little extra money. I have to go back to work. That's your decision. That's your choice. So for any of you out there thinking about leaving their jobs, if I had left the restaurant and I had to go back, my wife said, we can always go back. You can always go back and work, get another job, open another restaurant. I mean, that's in the cards for you as well, isn't it?
1,000%. And that's what makes it refreshing is right now I can focus on this, and worst case scenario, I can go back and get a job. It doesn't mean it's going to be permanent, but it could be for the time being until I can get this up and going even more, you know? And it's both ways where I'm like, I'm enjoying what I'm doing now. I'm trying to grow. I'm working on it. If I don't get there in the amount of time I need to, well, then I'll get another job and I'll do what I was doing before, build up my real estate portfolio more. And then, all right, then I'm back doing this full time.
What were some of the challenges that you had when you joined the community? Some of the things that you didn't know that you were like, wow, I didn't even think of that. Some of the mistakes that you avoided by joining the community. Anything that pops into mind?
Well, I didn't know anything about real estate really before I joined the community. I mean, I had nothing. No one in my family had ever done it. We never talked about it. I grew up, you know, my dad's old school. Save every penny, put it in the bank, you know, don't spend it. And I didn't know that you could actually leverage money, that you could use the bank, you know, to get more money, that you actually buying an apartment for, let's say, $1 million didn't cost you $1 million. You know, it only cost you, let's say, 20%. And that you can even get from someone else. It's like, it was mind blown, you know, and seeing other people doing this and already showing success, just, it helps you say, why not me, right? Why not me? Why, like, if everyone else can do it, not everyone, but if most of these people can do it, it can be done. Just go out and do it. Stop overthinking now. You know, once you get educated, seeing other people do it, it's just time to jump.
And Bill, for me, the limiting belief was Bill Murray is up in New Hampshire in that market. Yes. Is he going to be able to do it there? We've got Matt Damon. Big shout out to Matt Damon. He was on Closer to Club 10. Same thing. They're in that. They're in Northeast market, and everyone is up there going, no, you have to go to the Southeast. You have to go to the Path of Progress. And I'm like, no, everyone has their own unique story. And for Bill, he doesn't need to have thousands of units. I think if your profit per unit is $200 and you have 50 units, you'd get in 10 grand a month in cash flow for these properties. That's not even talking about appreciation. That's not even talking about, you know, cost segregation, any of that stuff. So what made you decide to choose your market in New Hampshire and stick with it and start scaling there?
I was comfortable, right? And when you're first getting started, and I know people say, oh, you can get started in another market. I just felt comfortable doing it in my backyard where I knew the market and I could get to issues, problems if I had to. So I started there. And the good thing about New Hampshire to me is I know it. I know where you know, cities are expanding, where people are heading. There's a lot of people from Massachusetts moving up to New Hampshire, driving the prices up, driving everything, you know, all the inflation's coming up nationwide, but even in New Hampshire, because everyone from Mass is moving out because we call it Taxachusetts, because they're getting so taxed. New Hampshire's a, you know, income tax-free state, so more people are moving up, and you can see that happening. So I started investing. Appreciation's been amazing up here, and I felt comfortable, bought one, expanded to others, seeing how good it was. Now I've been raising rents. I'm doing a cost seg this year on my properties. And I'm probably going to cash out refinance. I was talking to someone about doing cash out refinance on everything, bundling the loan together, because we probably have about 1.5 to 2 million that we could pull out in our portfolio right now.
Wow. So Bill's going to get on the phone with me after this M Movers and Shakers. We're going to do a nice little coaching call. We're going to get out the spreadsheet. We're going to get scheduled real estate loan. We're going to go through all the equity. We're going to work through that. So we're going to actually have a discussion on that, because that's life-changing money.
Yes.
That is a loan to you for 1 point. You know how many pizzas I need to make for $1.5 million? I always think in those terms. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of pizzas that I need to make $1.5 million on that. And 3 years ago, you didn't even know what real estate was. You didn't know what was possible. Isn't that amazing? Get going and then get good. That's exactly what you did. You got going. You figured it out. You started buying the properties. On that first deal, let's talk about that first deal.
Sure.
What mistakes did you think you made on that first deal?
Well, I thought I was overpaying. I thought I was overpaying. It was just under $100K a door, because it's a little more expensive out here. I thought I was overpaying. I was nervous. I saw the deal, and I remember I was sitting, because it was during COVID. I was sitting at my house because I was working from home. And I just thought to myself, either you're going to do something now or you're going to sit and regret forever and never take action. I said, so I like had a talk with myself that said, you need to make a move or you need to stop pretending that you're going to be a real estate investor. Like, either do it or don't do it, but stop talking about it. So I kind of, quote unquote, jumped in, but I knew enough. But since it was my first one, I was still nervous. Now that property, I mean, things are trading at about 150, 160 a door right now, you know, same property. And I increased the cash flow. I've doubled the cash flow since I bought it. I mean, that deal right there is my best moneymaker.
It's one thing that just popped into my mind. You're talking about fear, I think the fear is not doing the deal. The fear, I always say, is of not being prepared. Mm-hmm. And I think you can prepare as much as possible. And I think maybe you didn't think you were prepared enough, even with the education. And I think the solution is to take action, to join the community. But also, Bill, what's the worst thing if you paid $100K a door and you'd overpaid a little bit and you had to sell it at a loss or even at a standstill? Once again, it's not the end of the world, but if you had never taken that step and seen what the possibility is, we wouldn't be talking about $1.5 million of crystallized equity that you're able to pull out 2.5 years later. That's an amazing story. So when you bought that deal, you got that first deal. How did you come across the next deal?
So the broker that I bought this deal from, I was on their off market list. You know, they'd send it out to their buyers first before they listed on the market. So that's how I got that one. And then I got it. It was already running fairly good. I did a couple of improvements, kept it running. So then I was hungry for another deal. Same broker. We were looking at other properties, and she said, "Hey, did you see this 13 unit over here? It just fell through. because we're the ones, they're the ones selling. She's like, it just fell through, but I know what the buyer's willing to accept on it. I had seen it a few months ago. It was listed at like 1.6, and I was like, that's crazy. It's too high. She's like, I know he'll come down to about 1.4 on this because they just bought it. That's when I checked with my brother, and I was like, hey, we got an opportunity to buy a property, 1.4 million, 13 units, just over 100K a door. And I'm like, this could be a good one. We pulled our money together. I spoke with her, got in there. There were other offers, but she knew me. I just closed on a deal. She kind of brought this to me as well. And boom, we got in there and made the deal happen.
That is so important, everyone. Bill closed on his first deal. Was it a 30-unit deal or a 50-unit deal? No, it was a small six-unit deal.
Six unit.
But the 6-unit led to the 13-unit. Think big, start small, because when you get into it, all of a sudden you're a closer. They take you seriously. And guess what? Even more importantly, Bill's brother saw his success. And even if it's your brother, he's going to be like, bro, I don't trust you. You've never done a deal before. Who are you? I don't want to put money with you. But now Bill's got 6 units and he's like saying to his brother, this thing's bringing in a couple grand a month. You want a piece of the action? Now Bill's brother's like, oh, I see. Yep. 13 units. Don't be held back by the deal being small if you've never done a deal before, because that will actually add to the momentum. Because Jake and I did a 25-unit deal on our first deal. It was a small deal because it was me, Jake, and my brother Mark. So there's 8 units per person if you want to break it down to. So it's not overwhelming. But 3 months later, we got into a 36-unit. The same scenario. A broker that had bought us the first deal brought us this second deal. So talk about the second deal. What did you like about this deal as well?
I like the deal. Same, similar location, just a few blocks down. So it's fairly close. Good price per door. I saw the rents were super low. Market was just starting to appreciate more and more. And I was like, we got to get into this now. I knew there could be some fixes, increase in rents, and we could start really building on that property. The property's been, I'll tell you, it's been a little more of a headache than what I anticipated. But you know what? We've been handling it. You just do, right? And we've been increasing. Rents started at about right around 13K a month. We're now up to just under 20K a month in rents.
So how much is that per unit? That's like 1400 bucks per.
Yeah, they're correct. Wow. A lot of three bedrooms, two and three bedrooms in this. So the average rent is right around like 1600 or so.
Wow. On the smaller units, these small units, more bedrooms per is just amazing, because you're getting more rent. So you can see the numbers. I mean, the 1% rule at 150 a door is 1500 bucks a month. So when you're crushing a 1% rule on these deals, there's a lot of equity that you've built up in these assets, and you're getting a ton of cash flow also. So that's amazing. So the 13 unit is done. So how do you find this next deal after that?
The next deal, we've been through a couple other. I mean, in the process, we've been viewing properties. I've been running numbers, putting offers in, just keep putting offers in. Just, you know, it doesn't hurt. If it's something looks good, I'm going to put an offer, even if it's lower than what is expected, because there could be a backup. I had a couple times where one of the brokers that I bought the next deal from, he'd called me on another property. I put an offer in because they wasn't sure the guy was going to close. Called me back saying, hey, you still interested? The guy ended up closing, but you just got to be in that game in order to make it happen. And that broker, this other broker that I work with as well, I put a couple offers in through him. He had a 5-unit, smaller property. Once again, 5-unit, good deal. Most of it was renovated. Rents are pretty good. So this was a fairly stable property. And my brother and I was looking to get into more. Boom. We ended up getting that one. I think that was the end of 2021. So I think it was like August or September or so of 2021. Yes.
Wow. And so three things I got to mention on that. Number one is the momentum. You had momentum going. Number two, you know the market. You spent time researching the market. You understand the brokers. You made connections. That's why don't start and wait for the market to correct, because you probably won't know when the market's correcting because you're not in it and you don't have the connections with these brokers. And the third thing is, Bill, you're taking massive activity, massive action, because you're out there and you're saying, hey, I'm going to put in offers. Even if they're a little bit low, it's okay. Now that the market's resetting, the brokers know that you're active and that you're willing to take these risks. And actually, what I love about it more than anything else, it says that you're doing the work. A broker sends you over an underwriting. You underwrite and get it back to that broker right away. That's what brokers like to see, and that's so important as you're rolling this up. What did your brother – I mean, what kind of conversations have you had with your brother? Because he doesn't sound like the entrepreneurial type either, and this must have been new to him. What were his initial thoughts, and how has he evolved his thinking about real estate?
He's come a long way, and we actually just had a conversation last week. We were talking because we just sat down. We got to sit down again and really hammer out like an OM, because we both worked at the same company. We both did staffing. We've worked together for the past 10 years. So I was doing this. I'm doing all the education, all, you know, going to conferences, paying for coaching. And he was just kind of coming along, and I'm like, hey, at what point do you either want in? Yes. Or, you know, you want to in and be in this together, or if you just want to be passive, that's fine. But now we got to break this up separately. We can't be 50-50 because I'm doing a lot of stuff over here and you're bringing the money with me. But we got to figure out now what this looks like, especially if we think what's 5 years down the road look like. We can't keep doing this. We're going to grow a team. So are you part of it? And how do you want to handle that? So now he's been growing and learning and taking part in action and working with contractors, working with tenants, and really starting to get involved and step it up.
I love that, Bill. It's one of those things where you need to have the conversation, whether it's a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a father, a team member.
Yeah.
You need to have that. I don't want to say it's uncomfortable, but it's one of those where you're right. And someone who's not from the entrepreneurial mindset doesn't understand it, but you're providing tremendous value. He's providing value with money, but is it really a 50-50 split? I think it would probably be a 75-25 split or 50-50 split, but then you're getting property management fees, you're getting asset management fees, and you're getting other stuff where they might not agree with, or acquisition fees, whatever that looks like. But having that conversation early on, everybody, that's a big golden nugget for me. Have the conversation. It may be uncomfortable, but just set expectations. So these are the expectations. Yes. And for anybody out there, to think and to give away equity for free is really a big mistake sometimes, because if Bill can go out there and raise the capital from somebody else that's a little bit cheaper than giving away equity ownership, that's what Bill or anybody else in real estate should do. You shouldn't pay somebody to be an underwriter or a capital raiser if you can, you know, farm that out and do it yourself. So can you speak to that as well? I mean, what were your thoughts about that? Because it's really about creating the value and see who can bring what value to the table.
Yeah, definitely. The conversation should have been had a little sooner too.
Yes.
I was getting to a point where I'm starting to get frustrated because I'm looking at it and it feels like everyone feels like they're doing everything, right? But it felt like I'm doing everything. I'm managing, property management, asset management, running numbers, going to view deals, you know, talking with brokers, talking with banks, bringing some money. And then we're splitting 50-50. It wasn't bad when we were small, but as we grow, it's like, all right, this becomes more and more of a full-time job. And I can't do it on my own. I'm starting to be overwhelmed and I still want to grow. So what does this look like? How do we separate this so we can keep growing? Or how do I now hire people? What does this split look like if I'm going to run this like a business? So now we need to, you know, organize this like a business.
Go back and listen to this. Anybody who's right now considering partnering with somebody or is at that point, in the beginning, you may have to give up more, and that's okay because you don't have any leverage. Bill didn't have any leverage. I didn't have leverage. Jake didn't have leverage in the beginning. But as you get more experience and you can create more value, now all of a sudden, Bill's got this great little company with 50 units pumping out cash flow, running it. His partner is there really not participating at the same level. At this point, should they be 50-50? No. In the beginning, probably yes, because Bill needed the money and he needed the balance sheet and he needed a little credibility as well. But now at some point, and that's a tough conversation to have, but that's something you need to have because that'll fester and that'll continue on and that'll hold you back because you can't grow. And then all of a sudden expectations get a little fuzzy and then things start blowing up. So kudos to you for thinking about that, for doing that. Now, when you were leaving your job, what was the family thinking? What did they think? What was the reaction from family and friends?
My wife has always been supportive. So my wife was supportive. She lets me not let she like we communicate very well. We have a great relationship. We know the kids. She's been stay-at-home mom for a long time. She was okay with it. I said it was going to be all right. She's okay with it. She believes me. The rest of my family was freaking out. I'm like, it is what it is. As we talked about earlier, I'm like, listen, I can always go back and get another job. I said, I'm going to give this a go. And now they've come around and they've seen that I'm doing this and I'm doing pretty good. And they understand, but they didn't understand before. When I first started real estate, I didn't tell anyone in my family because I knew I didn't want people to tell me that I shouldn't be doing it when they've never done it themselves. I didn't want to hear the negativity. I wanted to surround myself with the Jake and Gino group, others. You know, I'd go to meetups around here with people who were doing it that I could talk to, not my family. So my family didn't even know I owned properties until I think I was on like my 30-something unit.
Bill, we have a very similar story, Bill. Very similar, because when I started with Jake, didn't tell my mom, and I had a restaurant for years with my mother. I lost thousands of dollars on a couple of deals, so I said nothing to her. At about the 200-unit level, this was probably around 2015, I went up to her and I said, Mom, I've got a couple hundred units. I'm going to be leaving the restaurant in the next year or so. And she looked at me and I'll never forget. I'm sitting in the parking lot at the restaurant on one of those benches. And she looked at me like incredulously going, what do you mean? How did that happen? It's the same thing. I didn't want her, because she was always saying to me, you've got six mouths to feed. You're taking a lot of risk. Yes. And I get it. People are trying to protect you, but you don't want that negativity. I found my Jake and Gino in Jake itself. That was my community at the time. And I needed that accountability. I needed that network. I needed the positivity. I needed someone to really be working hard with me. And I found that in Jake. And that's why we created the Jake and Gino community. So people like you, Bill, can go in there and say, am I crazy? Or is it everyone else crazy? I'm doing what I love here. I'm trying to build a business here. And everyone's telling me that I'm taking a lot of risk. They're the ones who are taking risk. I mean, any job you do, whether you're working for an employee or you're an employer, there is a modicum of risk. I think as entrepreneurs, we can limit our downside risk. You bought an asset for $100 a door. Replacement value is probably $200 a door now. And you're getting cash flow and you're getting tax benefits. Your level of risk is cut drastically. If you ever had to sell the asset, you have a real hard, tangible asset that is in demand that they don't understand. So your level of risk is lower than actually going out and being employed by somebody. That's the way I look at it. And I think that's probably you're probably drinking from the Kool-Aid now also. But if they didn't understand real estate, they think that we were the ones who were taking risk. But it's just really a little bit of a level of financial intelligence that once you start reading the Rich Dad, Poor Dad, then the T. Harv Eker's, then you start reading Jake and Gino stuff and the Bill Hamm books and all that. And it's like you start putting the puzzle pieces together. It really makes a huge difference. We're going to talk about the refis, but before I let you go, what's the future look like for Bill Murray? I mean, and your brother, you're going to continue to grow in the Northeast, stay up there, or are you going to venture out?
Continue to grow in the Northeast and venture out. I think it's time to start expanding. I was actually out in the Columbus market a few weeks ago. I flew out there, look at some properties, explore the area, just get to know the area. Cause, I have to expand out more too to leverage my money and leverage properties more. I feel like it will go a little bit further in other locations while continuing to grow here. There's not for bigger deals. I'd love to start getting into, you know, larger deals. There's not as many out here in New Hampshire versus, you know, the Midwest or the Southeast. So I'm looking to do both, you know, looking to really start growing, expanding. As you've talked about a few times and brought up, and this is something I've been really trying to focus on, is relationships. The more relationships I can build, I love connecting with people. I need to connect with more. And then I can build a team in different markets. So it's now I feel comfortable knowing what I'm doing, but we can have boots on the ground. You know, people who are already investing in that market, I can partner up with or, you know, link up with and JV some deals together. And that way there I can get started in those areas a lot quicker and easier.
Bill, there's so much great advice in this podcast, but what I love about it more than anything is you started out in your market and you're like, let me learn my market here. I may not get these big deals. You hear all these gurus and all these people saying, yeah, I got to go big, get 100 units plus. New Hampshire, that's not really a possibility in that market, but it doesn't have to be. But you did what Jake and I did. We wanted to have a core set of small assets that were cash flowing, and then we could go to the bigger assets or we can go outside of our market. But you have to learn and you have to understand the market. And what you've learned in New Hampshire, you can take that knowledge and you go to any other market you want right now. And what I love about it, it is what we call the conveyor belt in action. All of a sudden, you put your first deal on in October of 2020. It starts matriculating, the second deal, the third deal. Now you've got 50 units. Now you're able to pull out over $1 million and it's only been 3 years. And that's the catalyst. People say, well, how do you scale up? Well, that $1 million to $2 million could probably buy at least another 100 units in the next year to two. So now you have 150 on there and you're going to other markets and you're getting the cost segregation, and then things start to get interesting. So within a 5 year time period, your life has gone from being a W-2 to all of a sudden owning your own business, creating massive wealth and going out there and possibly going even into different markets. So, you know, big shout out to you. Where can the listeners get a hold of you? Where can they find more information about you?
Yeah, for sure. They can always check me out. I'm on Facebook. I have a KB4 Property Group is the company I registered under. We have a website. They can give me a call. I love to connect with people. My direct line 603-818-1069. Feel free to reach out, you know, anytime. I love talking real estate. As I said, I'd love to connect with others doing it so I can partner up and see what happens.
I want to make a quick recap of the show, and I really think we're going to give a couple really quick bullet points that I think is important. Number one, it's all about momentum. If you're sitting on the sidelines and you're not taking action, things won't come to you. Bill didn't get lucky with his first deal, and then he didn't get lucky with the 13 unit. He was out there. It didn't fall in his lap. He may think it did, but it didn't, because he was out there putting in offers and taking massive action. The time right now is right to get into real estate, only if it's right for you. Money is a result, and money is not going to lead to happiness. What leads to happiness is the autonomy and the free will and the options that money allows you to have. And most importantly, Bill, along with Gino, we are not at our financial goals yet, but we're doing okay. And that's the thing. We keep striving. We're enjoying it. We keep striving, because to us, honestly, I don't really think that money is the goal for me or you. I don't want to speak for you. I know you pretty well. I think the goal for us is to get better and to chase opportunities like you're chasing in real estate. The opportunities will lead to the money. That's the important thing. That's the mind shift all of a sudden when you go from W-2 and talking to your family and friends going, how are you going to pay the bills? Where are you going to get the money from? No, where am I going to get the opportunity to buy the next deal? And that deal will bring me the money. That's the big shift that you had. So listen, brother, it's been an honor having you on the show. I really enjoyed it. I could speak forever. I love the shirt. You're looking good out in Cape Cod.
Thank you.
Once again, give me the email address for everybody.
It's Bill, just my first name, at KB4PropertyGroup.com.
Bill, thanks for an awesome show. Love you, brother. And for everybody out there, let's go out there and let's make it a movers and shakers day, my friend. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.